Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. So how about the door of your heart? He said, I stand there and knock. Talking about when you're unsaved, you know. And you know, a lot of people, because they live out of the sense realm in their minds, and they live out of the flesh realm, some people that are, that maybe need to be born again because they can't get it. They don't check what their heart's saying because Jesus is knocking. Amen. And so I encourage you, I don't know everybody's background or where everybody's coming from this morning, but he's standing at the door knocking of your heart. Your mind might tell you it's crazy, but your heart will say, well, this is good. This is good. The heart's the real you, right? Praise God. The mind and the flesh, they're not the real you in the sense that lives on in eternity. We know that the spirit. So I encourage people to check their heart. You know, God trying to make entrance into your life is not to make your life harder. It's not to make your life miserable. It's to make your life better. Amen. And whatever you've been told about God, if you're not running to Him, you've been told the wrong things because there's no reason you'd stay away from perfect love. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody has that desire for to be blessed, to have their life turn around. So if you've been told anything that's keeping you from God, you've just been told by the wrong person. Amen? Yeah. You know, if you go to a restaurant... And one time I went to a restaurant and they came out and they forgot my lemons. And I kindly said, could you bring me my lemons? Well, I think that made the waitress mad. She came back with a handful of lemons crushed up in her hand and set them right on the table. Well, that wasn't good, but it didn't make the whole restaurant bad. Just because you've heard some things about God that have kept you from Him doesn't make Him bad. It makes the person telling you not so good or misinformed, I should say. And so, search your heart. He's standing there to get entrance into your heart because He wants to do good things for you. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we love You, we praise You, we glorify You. Thank You for Your Word this morning. Help me to say what needs to be said. Help me to do what needs to be done. Father, they did not come to hear opinions or philosophies or theories or ideas of man, but to hear from You. And Lord, just like the psalmist of old said, he said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, fill my mouth with words from heaven. You know what everybody needs to hear in this place. And as far as I know, Lord, I'm obeying You to as much as I know of what to say today. But Father, if You need to take us down some rabbit trails or different things because different people are represented, just like You just did, Father, with the whole knocking on the door, Lord, that wasn't planned to say. That was from You. That was for somebody in here. Lord, do those kind of things. Demonstrate Yourself this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord had given me about a week ago a message to share for this Sunday. I knew without doubt, I mean, He spelled it out for me. But I didn't even think that this Sunday was Easter. I just didn't cross my mind. And so I knew what to share. And they're nice when you get messages a week ahead of time, you know. Then you can just kind of just spend time marinating in the presence of God and having Him talk to your heart and stuff and still studying and things like that, but not like when you don't know what you're supposed to say. And then I got my mind involved in it, and I knew we had Easter. I was like, oh, man, what You gave me, Father, is not an Easter message. So now I'm thinking I know more than God. And so I thought, well, I'll preach about how, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and the Bible says we're risen with Him. And how we're made alive and seated with Jesus in our place of authority. If I'll preach that, and that'll be good. You know, it's Easter. But then my heart said that would be good, but not good, the perfect good that we need for this service. Oh, then I thought, okay, fine. Well, then I'll preach about how Jesus went and defeated the devil after He died on the cross. The Bible says He stripped principalities and powers. He made a show of the devil. I said, that's what I'll preach on. And my heart said, no, that would be good because it'd be the Bible, but it wouldn't be the perfect good that we need for this service. You know, one thing we have to understand, and this is where people have missed it, if we're going to be a Word and Spirit church, we have to be willing to flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have to be willing to do whatever He wants done when He wants it done. And you know, I know like religion and tradition would make me want to come in here and preach a sermon on an Easter sermon. Well, we celebrate Easter every week here. Every Wednesday we celebrate Easter. Every Sunday we celebrate Easter, talking about the risen Jesus and how He died. So I'm not against Easter, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that we have to just make something for Easter. I think we can just follow the Holy Ghost and trust that. And I believe this with all my heart, that you're going to hear exactly what you need to hear. And you're going to realize, wow, this is a church that follows the Holy Ghost, because maybe some other places I've been, they might have just came and gave me the same old Easter message, or just came and gave me three points in a poem about Easter. But no, you're going to get what you need for your life today. I promise you. You watch. It'll happen. Praise God. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. Well, I didn't tell you what we're going to talk about, but we're not going to talk about Easter, I guess, in the way that you normally would talk about it. But what I will want to say to start off is that we know by being a faith church that it's important to maintain a life of faith and peace. Yeah. That if faith and peace are interrupted, actually if peace is interrupted, it'll interrupt your faith, that we will struggle. That we will have a hard time getting what we need from God, because God requires by His Word that we are faith people. Right. Faith people talk different, they act different, they don't get down about the same things, their joy level's different, their peace level is different, and God is not willing to abandon faith. Right. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that without it you can't please Him. Right. So we might as well just get on the faith train. Right? We might as well get on the faith train. And so it's important to maintain a life of faith and peace and joy. But one area that I see that robs from people, maybe more than any area at all, well, I cross out that word maybe. What I've seen and would talk to that robs people of their peace and gets them into, when you're robbed of your peace, it's usually you're entering into anxiety, worry, and fear. You know, being stressed out and things like that. And the area is with finances and supply. And whether it's you have a business and you get a bad report, if that troubles you, that's financially in that arena. If it's a job situation that's rumors and things that it troubles you, that's in that financial situation. If it's bills or unexpected things that come up, or things in the future, maybe your future financially is unknown or unclear and it's troubling you, it seems to be that the area of supply and financial things trouble and get people into stress, worry, anxiety, and fear more than anything else. And so the Lord is wanting to help you with that and get you your help so you don't have to be that way. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a place where no situation financially moves you at all? Wouldn't that be peaceful? That no matter what's going on at your job, no matter what's going on in the news, no matter what's going on with your bills or any unexpected thing in your life, that you continue to maintain joy, happiness, peace, faith, and victory? Wouldn't that be comforting? Well, that's the life that God desires for you. And He pointed out some things in one way, in a very supernatural way that I can't wait to share with you. At first, you might think I have lost my mind, but we already think that. I have lost my mind. I am a fool for Jesus. You are right. And some of you need to lose yours. I'm telling you, get rid of your thinking. Hallelujah. Get that out of there. So, I want to help you with that. And real quick, go to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You're going to be blessed. And you're going to think, I didn't know Easter messages could talk about this stuff. But you'll walk out of here helped. The spiritual Easter bunny is about to leave you some goodies. Oh, yeah. He just hopped right through the building here and just start dropping things in your heart. Little egg blessings in your heart today. Praise God. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Because you can't afford... I mean that, afford, money-wise. You can't afford to not be in peace. That's right. You can't afford to be in fear. You need your faith, praise God. Amen. The trials of the world that come to us are no doubt sometimes associated financially, correct? Well, the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world. That means it overcomes those tests and trials, our faith. That's what 1 John 5 and verse 4 says. So you can't afford to not stay in faith about this. When the storms rise and unexpected things and rumors and things are swirling around, you have to maintain a steady course of faith because that's what will overcome that problem. When you leave that off to the side, you just left your overcoming abilities off to the side. We don't want that. And maybe you might say, "Here, Pastor, I'm not in anything right now at all." Well, the word is for you to prepare you for something in the future. Yeah. Things happen, praise God. And let me just say it this way. If you want to keep increasing with God and being a supply to the kingdom, which that should be our heart, by the way, financially. to supply for the kingdom. Because if you'll take care of him, you'll get taken care of. He said, seek me first. Take care of me first, and I'll make sure that you don't have to worry about nothing. That's what he's saying in the Word. And so, hallelujah. And so, if you want to be a supply to God and you want to increase in that way, you have to understand it will not go unopposed. It will not go unchallenged. And so, if you're not saying, well, I'm not in any kind of financial thing right now, or there's no rumors, or things seem to be good, well, you need this to strengthen yourself. Hallelujah. So that way, if you're continuing to increase and doing good, when the devil does come or a situation does come, you're ready for it. And you bust through that door of opposition into where God has for you. Amen? Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Well, that's good. That's what we want. Perfect peace financially, that's included. Now notice this, whose mind is stayed on thee? Because he trusts in thee. Notice the Bible says that your peace is a direct result of where your mind is. He says, if your mind will stay on him, perfect peace will be available. Notice he didn't say perfect peace is dependent upon your bills being paid. And I'm going to show you later on that if you're somebody who thinks, because I don't know where you've got it because you haven't got it from this church. If you think that you're going to go through life like it's a flowery bed of roses and you're never going to have opposition and you're never going to have contention or pressure pushing against you and even in the financial realm, you're crazy. Until you get to heaven, that's when the tests stop. It's never going to stop down here. And I'm going to show you later, you better learn to enjoy it in the midst of the trial because the trial's never going away. There'll be different seasons and times. But we are called to be joyous. He said, my brethren, James 1 verse 2, count it joy. Joy when you fall into diverse trials and tests. He's saying during the tests and trials, you don't lose your joy. Well, it's possible when your mind is in the right place. That's what the Bible says. If your mind is in the right place on him, no matter what the money's saying, the job's saying, the checkbook's saying, the bills are saying, if your mind's in the right place, your peace will stay. Hallelujah. Now go with me to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. 1 Timothy, and please know this, I'm not trying to knock other churches, because the church I grew up in, I mean, I can pretty much tell you what they're doing today and what they do every Sunday. You know, they really don't know how to hear from heaven and follow the Holy Ghost. They're wonderful people. God loves them. But I don't want to just stay at the cross my whole life. I want to go on and be successful in this life and learn how to navigate through everything that comes my way. And so please understand, I'm not bashing or belittling anybody. My goodness, I love everybody. I just pointing out those are the facts. I can speak freely on those because my wife came from a place like that and I came from a place like that. And a lot of people that I know are still in places like that. And I see the result of it and my heart breaks for them. I don't take a position of being over them or thinking I'm better than them, my heart breaks for them. So when I mention those kind of things, please understand that's not from a heart of coming against someone or pointing out their faults and being mean. That's sure not my heart. But notice what it says in 1 Timothy. So my job today is to get you to be in peace all the time financially. Because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, it's an awesome place to be. Amen. That no matter what happens, you're still happy. No matter what happens, you're still cheerful. No matter what happens, you're not worried and stressed. Is it fun to be worried and stressed? I mean, I don't know about you. Do you like laying there at night, not being able to sleep, rubbing your hands together, causing almost a fire in your bed? You're rubbing them so hard, pacing your floor so much, you're wearing out your carpet in one spot. Is that fun? That's not fun. It is fun being in joy that no matter what comes at you, it's water off a duck's back. Oh, okay. Oh, the money's all paid? Great. Oh, the money's not all paid? Great. You can get there. You can get there if you'll do this, what this is saying here. But look what it says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, godliness, of course, is great gain. Godliness is just being a doer of the word. Being like God. The more you're like God, the more victory you'll have. It's just the way it is. And doing the word. The Bible promises you do the word, you'll be blessed. Well, but this is what I want to show you. It says, godliness with something. With contentment is great gain. Well, what are you talking about here? Well, great gain. I want great gain in my life. Well, I got to have godliness with contentment. Well, what's that word content mean? That word content means in a state of peaceful happiness. Pleased, happy, cheerful, and glad. Isn't that what we're talking about? But godliness with being in peaceful happiness, being pleased, happy, cheerful, and glad is great gain. It's an awesome way to live. It's way better than living stressed out. And plus, it's the faith life. That's how faith lives and how faith gets what it needs. And so, the Bible's saying here that it's great gain to be content. Well, that word contentment, also in the Greek, if you look that up. Now remember, the Bible said in Isaiah, if you'll keep your mind on Him, you'll be at peace. Well, it says in 1 Timothy 6:6 in the Greek, it says, but godliness with contentment. That word contentment means this. A mind, didn't we just talk about thoughts? Whose mind? A mind contented with its lot. What does that mean? Somebody's mind, peaceful, happy, cheerful, and joyful of exactly where they are right now in life. Yeah. I'm going to help you here today. Real good, I'm going to help you. The opposite of content would be fear, worry, anxiety, grumbling, and complaining. We can't get over into that realm. We've seen how that works out for people in the Bible. It doesn't work out very well. And so, a mind content with its lot. A mind that is completely pleased, happy, cheerful. What does that mean? A mind thrilled with the car you're driving. A mind thrilled with the house you're living in. A mind thrilled with the clothes you have. A mind thrilled with all the stuff that you have right now. Content, peaceful with what you have. The Bible says if you'll get to that place in life, you'll have great gain. And I'll tell you, it's a wonderful place to be. It's not a great place to be or feeling in a good place to be covetous, to be jealous of others. That doesn't feel good, is it? I mean, have you ever liked that feeling of seeing somebody that has something and, oh, it just burns in you that you don't have it? That's not fun. I've been there before. I had a friend who would just get the nicest trucks and I'd be driving things that you could throw snowballs through, literally. I did. I threw a snowball through one of my trucks. It was so rusty. And he's driving brand new trucks. And it just, the jealousy burned in me of, in the thoughts that came, I'll tell you, it wasn't a fun way to live. That's not a fun way to live, being ungrateful, being jealous and things like that. It's not a fun person to be around either. And so the Bible says if you can get to content to what you have right now, in the house that you're in the car that you're in, the money you have, the job that you have, the clothes that you have, a mind contented with its lot is great gain, the Bible says. Well, that's great and it sounds wonderful, but how do we get there? Well, thank God He doesn't leave us to have to wonder that. Right. He goes on and tells us. In verse 7, He says, for we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Boy, we forget about that.
Come on.
We forget about that. You came in this world in your birthday suit. You did. You had nothing. Everything you have now is extra.
Amen.
The word's saying.
Yeah.
But I want to even go further because I'm trying to get your mind in the right place. He says, now notice this. Now this is the word of God, which is the will of God. This, I've said, preached this before, but maybe you never heard it. You forgot it. It's going to blow your mind. No. Verse 8. And having food and raiment. Now raiment's just a good old-fashioned way of saying clothing. Having food in clothing, let us be therewith. Shh. Jeff, just go out there with them. Yeah, thank you. Food and clothing, let us be content. Let us be what? In a state of peaceful happiness, pleased, happy, cheerful, and glad with what? Food and clothing. Guess what? Everybody in here has that. I mean, thank God for the clothing part. Look around. We don't want to be one of them, church. Oh, we don't want to be known as the naked church. And I know y'all eat good. And the Bible says, the Bible, the Word of God. Now, you're either going to renew your mind to this and it'll help you, or you're going to fight it the rest of your life and be a grumbling complainer, someone that's not fun to be around, who's always ungrateful. Always stressed out. Always had that burning yuckiness inside your heart. But the Bible, the will of God says, if you have food and clothing, that should be enough and should all that should be determining whether or not you're content, happy, peaceful. Imagine, okay, now we don't want to get into the ditch and say that, well, if we have more than food and clothing, we have to get rid of it because God's not saying that. And I'll get to that in a second. But imagine if we renewed our minds to the fact of what the Word says. We said, yep, I got clothing, I got food. Everything else that would come into our life, that car that you're sick of, that house that you're sick of, those clothes well, we can't say clothes, they're clothes, right? But if you have any kind of clothes really, that anything in your life that you have that you're sick of and grumbling about, it's all bonus land. It's all abundance in bonus land. But we don't think that way. We take the vehicle that we have, the house that we have, or even the clothes that we have, and we see what other people have, and we see what we get in our mind of what we want. And this is what I wanted to say, is it's not wrong to believe God for more. It's wrong to say you're believing God for more, but being discontented at the same time. It's not wrong to desire a better home. It's not wrong to desire a better house or better clothes. That's not wrong. God does not have a problem with you having stuff. He has a problem with stuff having you. That's just the truth. But what is the problem is if you have a vehicle you don't like and you say, I'm believing God for a better one, and you get into that vehicle, I can't stand this stupid thing. I hate this car. I'm embarrassed to drive this car. That's not content. You're out of the will of God because the Bible says if you got food and clothing, you should be content. Why are you letting your car steal your joy? Let me just say it this way. I've said this before too, but I'm a good repeater. Pete and Repeat got in the boat. Pete fell out. Guess who was left? Pete and Repeat got in the boat. Pete fell out. Guess who was left? Who was left? Repeat, right? I'm a good repeater. Hallelujah. Food and clothing. Food and clothing. Food and clothing. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, we don't, because this is why we grumble and complain. Do you realize that if we lined you up with everybody on planet Earth in a financial situation, how close to the front of the line you'd be? I don't even need to know what all your checkbooks say in here. Just the fact that you're here and in this country puts you at the front of the line. The fact that you drove here puts you so far at the front of the line. The fact that you have a home to go to with cupboards full of food puts you so far at the front of the line. Oh my gosh, you don't even realize how wealthy you are. And all the Bible says is your contentment lies with food and clothing. But we get our minds, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses. If we have any Joneses in here, I don't know, but I don't think we do. Trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? That's the old saying. Oh, they got this, they got that. Just be content and thankful according if your mind's on the word and will of God, then we all have no reason to ever grumble about financial things here, ever. That's what I should do. Now listen, when you talk to me about financial problems, that's not grumbling and complaining. When you're getting advice, when you come to me complaining, you know what I should do? You're not naked, and you look well fed, bye, when you complain. When you complain, not when you come to me and say, Pastor, I need help financially, what are we going to do? But when you complain, I should say, I don't know what you're complaining about. Right. According to the will of God, you should be content, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah, it's true. It says it's great gain. If we'll renew our minds to this, if we'll renew our minds to the fact of how blessed we are, oh my gosh, that car that you can't stand will become a treasure. And you'll get in that thing and you'll start taking care of it. You'll be believing God for a better one, but you'll be in that car. Thank you, Lord, for this vehicle. Let me give you an example of believing God and being content, even though maybe it's not exactly what you want. My house that we moved into, the prior house that we were in, was very small. It was like 700 square feet. And for us, that was small with a kid and another kid on the way. And my office for the first 3 years of pastoring this church was in a dark, dungy, damp basement. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just here to let you in on a little secret. Your pastor is terrified of spiders. Now, I know fear is wrong, and I have not renewed my mind to the point where one falls from the ceiling and drops in front of me while I'm reading the Bible. I have yet got to the place where I almost pee my pants. I come unglued. You've never seen a dance like you've seen when one would fall on my head or fall on my neck, and I could hardly see my Bible. It's dark down there. It's cold in there. I got blankets wrapped around me preparing messages for the things of God. So we wanted out of that home. And it's okay. Actually, the Bible says you're allowed to believe until your joy is full. My joy wasn't full in that house. Now, it doesn't mean that I got grumbly and complaining. I'm just talking about your joy being completely full. We're allowed to do that. Believe for that. So I'd come home every day from walking my dogs for 2 years, and we'd get to the driveway. I'd point to the house and say, "Father, I thank you so much for this home." And I meant it. I told, "I'll live here forever. I know that's not your will, but I would. I know I'm blessed, Father." I wanted to keep it in front of me, keep my mind to the fact. Because you'd see other people with bigger homes, and then I'd go down to that basement, and you'd get tempted to get grumbly, and the house is small, can hear Caleb running around the house, and can't get anything done. You're noisy. I love it, though, praise to God. And can't get anything done, no quiet time, and you get tempted to get grumpy and complaining. And I'm like, no. People in the world would... there's so many people in the world that would trade places with you without even knowing anything about your situation. They wouldn't care what your bills say. They don't care how much is in your checkbook. They wouldn't care how much. They would just say, yes, give me their life. Yeah. And we complain about it. Yeah. Perspective, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd say, "Father, thank you for this home. Yes, Father, I'm believing you for a better one, but Lord, I'm so grateful for a roof over my head, for heat, for a bed to sleep in tonight, for running water. I just get so thankful to him and just rejoice." Praise God. That sets people up for blessing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, we start comparing, getting ungrateful, and what that does is it pushes contentment aside. Stop comparing with what everybody else has. Get grateful and thankful for what you have, and get in faith for what you don't. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give you, because one of the things that tends to push the contentment out the door besides being ungrateful, one thing that is tempted to push that out the door is pressure. Pressure moves things, doesn't it? I'm sorry to do this to you, but I need to tell you just a little story. I was in the ocean one time swimming. Snorkeling, and I just thought it was just the neatest thing in the world. I'm so not traveled, and when I saw water that was blue and you could see fish, I was like, "Wow, that's really exists. It's not just in pictures and stuff." And so I snorkeled. I think I probably did it too long, because by the end of the week, I couldn't hear anything. I had so much whatever going on in there, and I was like clogged up to where it was just hard to hear anything. Well, I had found out that you can get one of those little bulb things that you buy at the pharmacy that you can fill up with water and squirt water in your ear. Well, see, I had water in my ear, but it wasn't doing anything. There was no driving force behind it. There wasn't a whole lot of pressure because I wasn't down too far. But anyways, I went to the pharmacy, bought that, went into the bathroom, took it out of the package, ran some warm water, ran that thing under there, jammed that thing on my ear, leaned sideways like this, and squirted that thing as hard as I could. Ladies and gentlemen, you would not believe what came out of my ear. Oh my, it was like Tales from the Crypt or something like that. Like, it was kind of awesome because I'd never seen, and I was like, "How is that thing up there?" I mean, chunks and chunks, and I could hear again. But what happened? The pressure pushed that thing out. The water pressure pushed that thing out, thank God. I told you, I apologized before, so I'm okay. And what I found is, and it's amazing, is that the people, and this is just kind of generally what I've observed. I got saved in 2002, so I've been born again for, 2012, 10 years, so I've been saved for 14 years. That's pretty good, right? I'm glad to be saved for 14 years, so I've seen a little bit, not a lot. There's a lot more I don't know. But it's amazing to me that in my Christianity, in pastoring, going to different churches and things, the people that I find that grumble and complain about their finances the most, if you look at their life, they don't just have one vehicle, they have two vehicles. They have a home. They're well fed. They're doing well. And what I've come to learn is that reason that they're not content anymore is because pressure has come in and drove that out. Now I'm going to help you with that. What do you mean pressure? Unexpected bills. Things breaking down. Job cuts. Things not going as well in your business as you'd like. Whatever would be pressure financially, pressure moves things, right? Pressure seems to move a lot of those things out. And so I want to help you with that in closing today. Because if we'll renew our mind to the food and clothing thing, that's going to put us in great gain. Because we can't no longer be grumbling about our car and about our house and about other things. Because we, if we qualify for food and clothing, we qualify to have to be happy. And we need to look at it that way and say, oh, I have a car that I really can't stand. But you know what? I'm so thankful because I'm in bonus land. This car puts me in wealthy bonus land. This house puts me in wealthy bonus land. Okay, so that's one way to look at it. But then I want you to show you this. Go to Psalms 23 and verse 5. Psalm 23 and verse 5. Interesting Easter message today. Hallelujah. But I've told Jesus I'll follow the Holy Ghost. It's not my plans or my purposes. Now remember I said earlier that if you think you're going to go through life as a Christian, you're going to wait to enjoy life until all the bills are paid. I'll enjoy life when everything's lined up. Get ready, because if you're going to keep progressing with God, now I'm not saying things don't get better in our circumstances, but I'm saying that the tests are never going away. The pressure is never going away while you are in this earth suit on this earth. And God, by the way, is expecting you to maintain your joy and your peace and your satisfaction in the midst of those tests and trials. Amen. Psalm 23 and verse 5. We know Psalm 23. He says, you preparest a table before me. Now notice this. In the presence of flowery beds and roses. Flowery beds of roses and waterfalls and violin players and harp players. No. God said, because remember, the word says that the devil is the god of this world. He's always going to be here. He said, I prepared good things for you in the presence of your enemies, naturally and spiritually, the things that come against you. God says, enjoy it in the midst. Amen. Real quick, go to James 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. And then I'm going to tell you about a supernatural thing that you might think I've lost my mind, but I know I haven't. James chapter 1 and verse 2. He is so good to us. If we renew our minds to this, life will be so much better. So much better. Because when all the bills come, you still got your food and clothing? Oh, okay, the bills are here. So I guess I'll use faith on those things and not let them trouble me. Think about the grumblers and complainers. You were grumbling and complaining and worried to death a year ago. Guess what? You're still here. You're still alive. You're still eating. You still have your car and you still have your home. Devil's a liar. Most of the things people were stressing about a year ago, they don't even know what they were stressing about today. And so much fear and worry and anxiety. Just don't take that stuff. James 1 and verse 2 says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various tests and trials. God says, I'm preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And when things are going wrong and tests and trials, he says, be joyful. That's what heaven says. Yeah. Now remember, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind, if you put your mind in the right place, this will be possible. One way is putting your mind on the food and clothing thing. Boy, that just kind of really puts a kibosh on all the grumbling and complaining about the stuff we don't have. If you'll renew your mind to that, because then all the things you're grumbling and complaining about become wonderful blessings in your life. That's one way that'll help you stay in peace. Now I want to show you the second way. Go with me to Philippians 4 and we'll close with this. Philippians 4 and verse 19. We know this verse. We love this verse. It's from God. We're thankful for this verse. It says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, you can think about your life. Your bills are a need. You know vehicles are a need, right? My truck, I put about 30-some thousand miles on that thing. It's like a mobile office for me going all over. I need a vehicle. Jesus needed a vehicle too on Palm Sunday. If you need a vehicle, you're in line, that's a need. Jesus needed a vehicle to ride into Jerusalem. You know what he did? He said, go down there and tell that guy over there to untie his donkey. Tell him that the Lord needs it. He needed a vehicle, and he rode in. That was the vehicle back then, right? Well, we have different vehicles now, thank God. We get around a little quicker. A little quicker. So the Bible says, my God shall supply our needs according to his riches and glory. That's the promise of God. Now remember, what I said is the second thing, the first thing that will help your contentment is being content with what you have, food and clothing. Everything else becomes bonus land. The second way to hold yourself in that place of peace is to renew your mind to Philippians 4:19, because when you renew your mind to this, all the bills, all the uncertainty, when things pop up and trials and tests arise, when your mind's renewed to this, it won't move you off peace because you know this verse is true. Now let me help you with the knowing of this verse is true. Are you ready?
Yes.
Thursday morning. Have you ever been in that place where you wake up kind of and you're groggy, but then you go back to sleep and fall right back into a dream, or you get into a dream, and but you had already woken up, seen the clock, but then before you wake up for good, you dream?
Sure.
Well, I did, and I was in a dream, and I was talking to somebody, and I didn't see their face, and I couldn't tell whose voice it was. But it was talking about the new building. Now, it's not just pertinent to the building or my life. This is pertinent to the body of Christ to help you. The Lord's trying to get a point across, and I think it's amazing that this happened this week with this message. He's just wonderful. He gives me pictures and things because it's how I learn better. Just like on Wednesday when we talked about the pack animals with worries, you cast your fears, you cast your gear onto the pack animals and they carry it for you so you don't have to carry it. That helped me learn to see that way. Well, in my dream we were talking. Now, and it was exactly what's going on in the natural. It's amazing with building programs. They tell you at the start how much you need, so you get how much you need, and then it's never what it is. And it's not because they're dishonest, but things happen. Building, site, things happen. Different things come up. Unexpected things come up in construction projects. And so right now, naturally, the church is in a season of tremendous outflow. Tremendous, something new. Every day is coming up. I'm getting called by the construction. We need this. We need this amount of money. And so we're just in a tremendous season of that. Well, that's true in the natural. And in the dream, that was happening in the dream. And the person next to me said this. They said something had come up, and they were aware of it. They knew that the money wasn't there. And they said out loud, they said, wow, that's really going to hurt the church. And I said, in my dream, I said, no, nothing ever hurts the church. And then what came out of my mouth next is where you're going to all check out, leave, go home, and eat your ham. But I knew in my dream when I said it, I've never uttered those words before. And when I woke up, God started dealing with me and showing me all the things that he was trying to get to me. Because he deals with me how I learn. In my background of different things. He said this. I said, no, nothing ever hurts the church. I said, there's always a supply. And the supply, this is what came out of my mouth and shocked me. When it almost woke me up. I think it did because I was awake after that. After I said what I was about to say, I said, the supply is like the Navy SEALs. That's what came out of my mouth in my dream. I've never said that before. The supply is like the Navy SEALs. And I went on in the dream. I said, just like when the Navy SEALs are in their barracks or training and some covert mission comes up or some thing comes up overseas, because the Navy SEALs, if you don't know, they are the elite of the elite fighting forces in the military. They're the special ops guys that go in that you don't hear anything about. They're the ones that killed Osama bin Laden. They go in when a situation rises, boom, they send the SEALs in, right? And I said in my dream, the supply is like the Navy SEALs. Just like the commanding officer, this is what I was saying in my dream, just like the commanding officer might come into the barracks, and in my dream I was able to do a whistle with your fingers. I don't know how I hear, but I could in my dream. And I went, whoop, and I went and I said, come on, boys, saddle up. It's time to go. And Navy SEALs love, that's what they train for. They are a different breed of human being in a good way. I had a cousin that married a Navy SEAL. I just have so much respect for anybody in like law enforcement, military, and the Navy SEALs, the training they go through. I love watching documentaries on them and stuff. And so I've learned quite a bit about them and studying and reading. And when they get to hear, we're going in to take someone out, they're not like, oh, I'm so scared. They're like, woohoo! Yeah, it's time, finally. We don't have to train and jump over these logs and just shoot paper targets. Oh, let's go. And I said, just like the Navy SEALs are like that, it's the same way with our supply. When the need shows up, whoop, come on, supply, there's a need. Now remember, the Navy SEALs aren't always on the scene. When pressure shows up, they're called in, and as soon as they're called in, they start to come. Well, the Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. There would be no need for a supply if there was never a need. My point being this, and I've said this before, but he brought it to light more than I've ever seen before, is that the need always shows up before the supply is there. Let me say it again. The need shows up before the supply is there. But when you know this verse, and now how I know it like I've never known it before. When I know this verse like I'd never known before, I know now that when the need and the pressure shows up, the supply is coming with it. And just like the Navy SEALs, sometimes, guess what? They have to be dropped in a place, don't they? They get dropped out of a helicopter, maybe into parachute into a jungle or through some kind of field or into the water, and they got to swim to the location. They got to navigate maybe through the town. They don't just automatically get there. But they know once they're called in, it's coming. And the Lord showed me that the supplies like the Navy SEALs said, I know what that means. That I don't have to panic when the need shows up and lose that peace. I can stay in peace because the supply is right around the corner. Because the supply is like the Navy SEALs. It's specifically trained. It's specific for what you need. It'll come and help you exactly the time that you need it. Praise God. And to take it even a step further, and we're almost done, think about, what do I want to say here? To take it a step further, I just lost my mind. Let me get it back here. It'll come to me. Just give me a second here. Hallelujah. Maybe it won't. Oh, praise God. Anyways, I'll go forward. It will come to me before the end of the service. I'm just stuck on it. I just want to get it. Let me just figure this out. It was right there and it's gone. Lord, help me. Lord, help me because it'll help. It'll help the people. Actually, you know what? I'm serious. Let's just worship him because I do need to know what he's saying right now. Because what I was about to say was going to be a blessing. And we're not going to let that be robbed from us. Thank you, Father, for bringing that to my attention. I don't mean to be weird, but what I was going to say was going to help people. And I thank you, Lord, that we get this answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to get out of my head and into my heart. We're just blessing the Lord right now. We're just worshiping him. The pastor's trying to get out of his head and into his heart because I know what I needed to say needed to be said, and I lost it for a second, but it's going to come back to me. I don't normally do this, but I want to make sure that what I say gets said. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything. Father, you said I have the mind of Christ. That's what you said in the Word. Father, you bring all things to my remembrance, Father, and I thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. There it is. And have you ever seen a movie? It's back. Praise God. If you're here and you're new and say, what in the heck just happened? I just lost it for a second and needed to get back into my heart. I better shut up before I lose it again. But needed to get in my heart. And the Bible says that he'll bring all things to our remembrance. And so I thank you for adding your faith to this because it needed to be said. You ever seen a movie or a TV show where somebody may, well, I'll just use it for an example. Say like Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane or somebody, or just somebody gets taken captive. And they are wrapped up or whatever and they're sitting there in that chair and instead of playing the victim mentality and getting, oh, help me, oh, I'm just, don't do this to me, they almost get downright belligerent. Have you ever seen where they'll say, you shouldn't do this to me because you don't know who's coming after you and you don't know who you've stirred up and what dust you've kicked up. And you ever seen those people like on TV shows or movies where they're not scared and worried? They're like, oh, I'm worried for you because what you did to me, you're going to be bringing. The fight's coming to you now, right? That's how we need to be. When the tests and trials come, when we know that our boys called the supply SEALs are on their way. We don't have to worry and fret about the bills up to the ceiling. We don't have to worry and fret about the job rumors. It doesn't matter. Our supply is not based on our job. Our supply is not based on what we have in our account. Our supply is based on the living God. And when something shows up and takes us captive to try to scare us, we ought to be that cocky person sitting in the chair saying, "You don't know who you're messing with here. The supply is on its way, and the supply is always meant to annihilate the need." Amen. Just like the seals are meant to annihilate the pressure or the enemy, the need is annihilated by the supply. And so that will keep us in faith. "Oh, I shouldn't have done that, devil. Oh, now you're going to pay. Now I'm going to be even better financially. I don't know how God's going to do it." They might be sitting there and you're watching that movie and all these people are surrounding this person. And maybe it's just like a single person and you're thinking, "There's no way that can happen." But see, it might not be able to happen in real life, but when there's supernatural involved in it, the natural doesn't count anymore. And they're sitting there thinking, "How is one person going to come in?" Yet they're sitting there, and you might be sitting there all tied up, bound in financial pressure and tests, and you might not know how it's going to turn out, but you don't have to know. All you have to know is whoever's coming is equipped and trained to get you out of that thing. Thank you. See, we needed to hear that. I just knew we couldn't go forward until that happens. God has called us to do things at times that the money wasn't there. Personally and church-wise, we've done things that have obeyed God, and then things have popped up where there's no money for it. Contractors call you, personal bills come up. Don't get troubled by it. The need is like the seals, man. They're coming. They're coming. And so if you'll renew your mind from this place, if you'll work on this week, this is your homework. Renew your mind to, "I got food and clothing. Everything else in my life, start rejoicing about it." Start rejoicing about the job that you have. Use faith for a different one if you want, but don't be discontented. Start rejoicing about the car that you drive. Start rejoicing about the job, the business, the food that you have, all the things, the house that you have. Start rejoicing about it. Renew your mind. That'll keep you in peace. And the second thing is renew your mind to this verse. That it doesn't matter how bad it looks, we have something being trained that's coming to annihilate that need. We don't have to worry. It's coming. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, thank you for your help. You're so good to me. See, Lord, this is what I mean, why I need you, Father. I stand up here and like a bumbling idiot and a fool and forget things all and stuff like that, but you're faithful and kind. We give you the praise this morning, Father. This message will change our lives. It helps me, Father. It keeps me in peace. It keeps me in joy. Thank you for the supply. Thank you for what you showed me that morning. I'm so grateful for things like that. You are so supernatural and wonderful. Father, thank you for food and clothing. And Father, for everything else we have, oh, thank you so much. Father, there are hurting people around the world, and I pray for them, Father. I pray that the light of the gospel, because that's what's going to change them. I pray, Father, where there's darkness, that light would spring up. That you'd send laborers to places that are dark to tell them about the gospel and the wonderful things that you have, because with the gospel comes peace, with the gospel comes health, with the gospel comes the supply, with the gospel comes the joy and the victory, the protection, the favor. So Father, that's the remedy, is the gospel needs to go. So Father, those dark places where people are suffering, people are struggling, and people are hurting, people that would change places with us in a second and not even ask what we have, they would just say, "Sign me up." Those people, Father, I pray that you'd send people to them, because the gospel is what will help them. So, Father, we lift up those places, Father. My heart just goes out to people like that. Father, we are so blessed. Right now, for just a second, can we thank God for our blessings? Can we just be grateful for once in our lives and not grumble and complain? And you know what? That thing you're grumbling and complaining about, turn that around and be thankful for it today. Be thankful for it today. Thank you, Father. You're so generous to me. We're so generous to me. Father, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself this question. If I died today, we don't plan on that, but if it were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that right now. If you don't know the answer to that, let me tell you what, it's simple. It's not about church. It's not about how good or bad you've been. It's, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe He died and rose again? If you do, the Bible says, if you call on His name, you'll be saved. That's it. That's the qualifications. If you call and believe. So if you could say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure, but I do believe in Jesus. Well, then all you have to do is ask Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I promise I won't have you come to the front. I promise I won't have you stand up or have you say anything on your own. I'm not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody in this place this morning that needs to receive Jesus? Would you just lift your hand in the air if you do? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Just between you and God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't like to rush this because sometimes people are maybe shy or whatever, but anybody in this room want to receive Jesus, just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this room, so I trust we're all walking with You. If not, I pray that we would not pass from this life to have made Jesus our Lord. And Father, it's not about the raising of the hand that gets people saved. People might be shy. It's about believing in Jesus. So if you're listening by live stream or on an archive, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to raise your hand. But I do encourage you to cry out to Him. Just say, Lord, I do believe in You. I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you get out of your seats, brothers, you can go ahead and come forward. I'm going to put a song on for communion. Just go ahead. This is a time of reverent worship, a time to remember what the Lord did for us. So go ahead, brothers, and pass that out. I'll take mine before I put the music on. But I would ask that we not be talking and you know, doing too much, but worshiping Jesus during this time. Father, we love You. So thankful. Hallelujah. Not sure which song. Thank You, Jesus. Turn it up. Thank You. Just worship Him. He shed His blood for you. His body was broken for you. I did it. A little higher, Heather. Oh, we're so blessed, Father. We love You today. Thank You, Jesus. Did you get yours? Get some juice. Get you some. Thank You, Lord. Yeah. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for everything. We're so blessed this morning on Easter Sunday. Blood was shed so we could be forgiven. Lord, I thank You that when I messed up, You forgave me. You're so good to me, Father. Thank You so much. Where would I be without that, Father? Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, for forgiveness.
I'll take You to my
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. If you want to pull that up, Heather. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. What is communion? Communion is a time to remember what Jesus did for us. The Bible says as often as we would want to do this, we can do this. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "That I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So take your bread. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Go ahead and break and eat. Father, we're so thankful for the body of Jesus that was broken for us, the stripes that were laid upon him so that we could be healed and be free from sickness and disease. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that pain that you went through so we wouldn't have to. Thank you. Verse 25, "In the same manner he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood this do you as often as you remember me." This cup and this juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for our forgiveness. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's go ahead and let's drink. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our wrongdoings, from all the mess that we've put ourselves in. You're merciful, Father. You're merciful to forgive us when we mess up. Thank you for it, Father. We love you this morning. Thank you for dying and raising to life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30. If you could all pass your cups to the person on the end, that'd be easy for the ushers to get. Have an awesome rest of your Easter Sunday. You are dismissed. Here you go, Vinny. Thank you, sir.